You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me in the studios, and I thought I felt a chill. Then I looked up, and there sat Ebenezer Scrooge. Welcome, Mr. Scrooge, to Sounds Good.
No, very kind, very kind, very kind, I'm sure indeed.
I assume, Mr. Scrooge, that you have had your epiphany before you'll be at the Dickens Alley.
It is strange that you should mention that. I shouldn't have thought that it was common knowledge, because it was really quite a private affair, if you may take my meaning. But yes, some time ago, had a most remarkable set of occurrences, and I won't bore you with the details.
Oh, bore us with the details.
No. But
please.
Dear Mr. Dickens has inscribed my memoir so very appropriately, I think, and I am given to understand that many people are familiar with it. Because whenever I appear abroad in the town, people will say, "Ah, bah humbug," which is a sentiment that I have not expressed during the season of holidays in quite some years. Bah humbug indeed, I should say. Bah humbug indeed, yes. What an unfortunate sentiment.
Well, you've definitely taken the epiphany to heart then, and we're so proud of you. And you'll be in Murray this Friday night, and like all day Saturday, I understand.
Yes, be about, but especially on the Friday. It's a very, very important day, because I'm given to understand by the officials of the city that the organizers have arranged for the lighting of the Christmas tree at the hour of 5:30, and that will be on the square, in the great city square. And I expect to be there. I mean, imagine many people will be there for the moment. There is just something about that moment as the last light has faded from the sky, as it does in your part of the country, half gone five. And there's just something about that moment when the lights of the holiday begin to fill windows and the candles on the trees are enlightened. And it's just a very beautiful season, I think. And I understand that carolers will be there. There is nothing like the sound of the carol at that season of the year. And then later on that evening, I am given to understand that the tubas and the euphonia will present a concert in, I believe it's some public house.
The public house that's quite grand there at the corner of 4th?
I would expect, yes. At one time, it was in the ownership of the postal officials. And now it's a public house. There is a gathering place there. And the tubas and the euphonia. Now that, to me, is uncommon. In my time, the stringed instruments were much more popular. But there were tubas and euphonia and the hautboys and the French horns, but the tubas and the euphonia give that rich golden tone that is so indicative of the season. And I would not have a holiday without them, if I could.
Nor would the rest of us. And in the midst of the tuba and euphonia, I believe that there are munchies for people who are listening. And it's a very walk-in, walk-out kind of concert where people are chatting while the tuba and the euphonia toot.
It is just the very thing that I should have noticed about the holiday season so many years ago, but did not. And then when one becomes aware of the importance of the season, the spirit with which one should approach it, then one notices, as he goes about his business, that there are carolers on the corner, that there are small bands playing the music of the season, that happy shoppers are going here and there. People, even about their everyday business, seem to be much more pleasant and much more imbued with the proper spirit. And that's, I am promised by the organizers, what people will see. And I'm very much looking forward to being part of that happy throng and to recounting stories with the people that I know quite well, or perhaps new friends I shall make, because that is what happens when one goes about in that busy season. You meet new people, and there's an opportunity to renew old friendships and to make new. It's very much in the spirit of the season, and I commend the city fathers and mothers for arranging such a festive evening. And it begins, you say, on the 30th of November.
And I believe it continues through the 1st of December.
On
after
the following
the
day,
parade.
That shall be the end of the week, the last day of work on the 1st. I have sent all my work as young Mr. Cratchit. His father used to be employed by me, but now it is the son, and he is to terminate work promptly at the noon hour, if not before. And I think if he were here, he would surely have had to terminate it before, because there is a grand promenade that takes place on Saturday morning.
As a matter of fact, it's Sharing the Joy of Christmas, the Rotary Club Parade, starting at 10. And I understand that Santa will be in the house visiting children, available for camera, taking pictures after the parade until 2. And he will actually be there Friday as well to share in all the...
Oh, St. Nicholas.
Yes.
Yeah, the very jolly symbol of the season.
He'll be there from 4:30 to 7:30 Friday. Now, describe for us the alleys of Christmas past.
Ah, there. You know, if you've ever read Mr. Dickens' memoir of my adventures, you will notice that it was in those alleys that the very poorest people lived. And I had a very dim view of being charitable in their plight, and subsequently have changed my mind mightily, I may tell you, and I think quite properly. But this particular alley in question, where it runs between the 4th and the 5th boulevards of the downtown region, will be peopled with those who are, and I have been consulted about this, who will be festooned, they will be costumed in the spirit of the age. There will be law enforcement personnel that we called constables or bobbies, after Sir Robert Peel, who was the Home Secretary and in charge of the constables. And so I think the ne'er-do-wells begin to call him bobbies, and as is often the case, eventually even respected people became comfortable with using that appellation. There will be bobbies, there will be street urchins. They are not really street urchins. They are probably sons and daughters of the finest families, but they will be costumed and behaving as probably they wish they could most of the time, but only on holidays will they be allowed to act thus. There is a public house. I'm sure it's not really a public house because spirits were served in the public houses of my day, but it is one where people might gather and warm themselves if it is a chilly evening. I understand it is not to be. I have no earthly how people can prognosticate the nature of weather that far in advance, but I have been assured that people are quite confident it will be jolly weather. And so you might step into the public house. There will be people vending foodstuffs and wares, storytellers, I understand, with storytellers. I would love to join in on that. I have some very jolly stories I would share. But all things to occupy the minds and the hands of the young people and the eyes and the brains of the older people. Music will be, I should well imagine, a major feature of this alley, the narrow streets, which were so typical to the London of my day, many narrow streets where life actually took place and the holidays were first celebrated.
Now, the Saturday alley will go after the parade until a grand event at 7. I believe the Town and Gown Community Singers are performing at...
given to understand at the Kirk, the church, the Baptist church.
At 7?
Most remarkably, not the National Church. But the Baptist Church, which is handy to the alley, very convenient location, and at 7 o'clock evening, a rather early hour for those who wish to dine, but perhaps they might dine later.
That's Saturday.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, Mr. Ebenezer, would you share us a brief story for the season?
Oh, I have one that should resonate very well, because it is not an English story. But it may have occurred very much at the same time that I had my epiphanic adventure, if you will. It is placed in the American city of Baltimore, and it is in the form of rhyme, if I may. It's a bit lengthy. Is it, do you have the moment? I don't want to intrude on your luncheon.
Please.
And with one of the great American poets, Mr. Nash, penned this many years ago, and he wrote, "In Baltimore there lived a boy, he wasn't anybody's joy. The name he bore was Jabez Dawes. His character was full of flaws. In school he never led the classes. He hid old ladies' reading glasses. His mouth was open when he chewed, and elbows to the table glued. He said he acted thus because there wasn't any Santa Claus. Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at little babies. He brushed his teeth, they said, in town, from side to side, not up and down. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked no admittance. Yet people pardoned every sin and viewed his antics with a grin till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Deploring how he did behave, his parents quickly sought their graves. They hurried through the portals pearly, and Jabez left the funeral early. Slunk like a weasel or a marten through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, no, there isn't. No, there's not. No beard, no pipe, no cherry nose, no gifts, no deer, no scarlet clothes. No presents, and furthermore, by chimney, nobody coming down the chimney. The children wept all Christmas Eve, while Jabez chortled up his sleeve. He sprawled at his untidy bed, fresh malice dancing in his head. When suddenly, with scalp a-tingling, Jabez beheld a distant jingling. He heard the crunch of sleigh and hoof, crisply alighting on the roof. What good to rise and bar the door? A shower of soot was on the floor, and Jabez beheld, oh, awe of awes, a fireplace full of Santa Claus. Then Jabez fell upon his knees with cries of, don't, and pretty please, I don't know where you read it. I swear some other fellow said it. Jabez, replied the angry saint, it isn't I, it's you who ain't. Although there is a Santa Claus, there isn't any Jabez Dawes. Well, said Jabez then with impudent vim, oh yes, there is, and I am him. Your language don't scare me, it doesn't. And then suddenly he found he wasn't. From grinning feet to unkempt locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box. An ugly toy in Santa's sack, mounting the flue on Santa's back. The neighbors heard his mournful squeal and searched for him, but not with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to thunderous applause, and people hung their stockings up and went to have a loving cup. All you who laugh at Santa Claus, beware the fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who told the saint off. The kid who got him licked his paint off. And there is a moral lesson in that, is there not, Mrs. Lockley? A moral lesson in that. Don't laugh at Santa Claus. I only tell that story because I'm quite certain that all the young people are at their studies right now. I wouldn't want to frighten any of the young people by telling that. Santa Claus will not hurt anyone, no matter what you say. Although I understand from a song I heard recently that he does keep a list and he knows who is sleeping and who is not sleeping, or some such as that.
Mr. Ebenezer, you're quite wonderful to visit.
Oh, my pleasure entirely, especially this very happy season of the year here in this most friendly of cities.
And you can visit with Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge this Friday evening and Saturday at Murray's Dickens Alley and Christmas Merriment events.